This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, Wednesday. What's up? Welcome in. Grant and Danny on the Fan, October 16th, 2024. We will take you all the way up to 6:30 this evening right here on the Fan at 4 o'clock coming up in 2 hours. We've got tickets for you to go see the Capitals on Halloween. If you want those, you better be listening. Also, a great guest lineup today we'll tell you about. Danny, how are you?
Bit of a slump today, my friend, but you got to put it behind you. Whatever you bring to the ballpark that day is what you play with. Just a quick, by way of example, my son, my youngest, has lacrosse after school today. There's pretty much no time. So one of our friends, very, very kind, her son also plays lacrosse, so she's going to pick them both up and take them to lacrosse, right? No problem. I got to drop his lacrosse stuff over at her place before I come into work. Pretty easy, right? You would think so. I got myself on a 395. I'm probably 75% of the way to work. Glanced in the rearview mirror, noticed that bag of lacrosse stuff right there in the back seat. Had to whip it on around, drive back there. And since then, I've been all futzed, all sorts of verklempt.
I thought I didn't have my wallet. Panicked midway to the radio station, only to find out I actually did have
my wallet.
And therefore, I was Bruce Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. It was that immediate, like, you got to be kidding
me. Did I really do that?
Somewhere between frustration and just hatred.
Because there's no one to be mad at. Like, whose fault is it? Can anybody think it's mine?
Then it all worked out.
Yeah.
So your boy was okay. But you, it sounds like, did have to hit the spin around.
Yeah, I had to do the exit and turn back around. GPS is like, what are you doing? I'm like, none of your business.
I need someone to come up with a technology for me. In fact, I'm stunned that we don't have this technology yet. I tweeted about this today at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's a funny Danny. We live in a world where we can do an unbelievable amount of things.
That's right.
Okay? If you want to build your own spaceship and get it to the moon, all you need is some money. The technology's there.
Yeah.
You just got to be really rich,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
If you're on Facebook and you have a company, you can, I don't know how to do this, but there's a way to do it with algorithms and such. You can basically say, I want Grant to see this, so I'm going to target all fat bearded guys in his zip code, and it'll eventually bump into me. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Why isn't it possible in 2024, the year of our Lord, with all of the tech at our disposal, for me to stop seeing political ads in a state that I don't belong to? Now, from a politics standpoint, I would like everyone to know we don't really swim in these waters, but I do agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm voting for who you're voting for, and I don't like the other person either. That having been said, it's not about that.
Yep.
I'm in Virginia. This here is Virginia in the DMV.
Yep.
I see Maryland ads every commercial of everything I watch every single night. We are in the thousands that I have seen at this point.
Yeah.
I think I've seen two ads for Virginia. I don't even think there's any races going on.
I think there's no race.
There must not be any races in Virginia. Someone said, oh, I'm in Maryland. I see some of those too. I think I've seen two ads for Virginia. Tim Kaine was on TV once. I don't remember. It was 3 weeks ago. I don't remember anything about it. guy.
Yeah.
I have seen more.
It's incredible.
Maryland
it?
Ads. Both of them must be spending $1 billion. But all I care about, we don't need to get into the specifics of it. Isn't it weird to you that with like the digital technology and I've got apps that I'm watching things on and I'm not even on cable anymore, they can't specify based on location what you see? How far are we from that?
Discussed this with my wife last night. Loudly in the kitchen, you know, there's like she's playing the news on the iPad while she's cooking for the kids and everything. And one of these ads comes on. And I'm like, I just find this so amazing that a cable company, they know where the cable shoots.
You would think so.
You see what I'm saying? Like the cable, they're like, okay, like for example, we have Cox Cable. I don't know if there's Cox Cable in Maryland. See what I'm saying? Like, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I have no clue.
When I call them and they ask me 8,000 questions, what's your social? What are your kids' names? How much do you weigh? Like all that stuff, mm-hmm. right? What they never ask me is, give me your zip code. Because they go, Mr. Paulson, you're at. They know.
They know.
They just know.
Or it's, oh, there's an adage at your place. What? So if you know that, wouldn't you try to shoot the right thing to me? See what I'm saying? Like I will never understand how I get it. In like 1977, where there's five channels, maybe four, I don't remember.
There was a time.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, we get, you're going to have some crossover. It's going to be a waste. You're going to get some Maryland for Virginia, Virginia for Maryland. Nothing
I'm not
you can
even
do.
Talking about cable, which it sounds like you have.
I was just saying. Like
you old man, you. I'm sitting over here with YouTube TV.
Oh, I know that.
So they, like, it shouldn't even matter necessarily where I'm at. They know exactly where I'm sitting.
Yeah, like on a digital ad, you can just click a box. Right. Do you want 22195, 22088? Like you can do that.
How do we do it? How do we get there and how far off are we? I'm even able to tell myself every fall, let's buckle up.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Gird up those loins.
Every
get ready to
4 years. Here mm-hmm. we go.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
A couple of those ads are pretty ridiculous where I got to get the kids out of the room. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I know what I'm getting into.
Sure.
I know what waters we're wading into when you sit down to, when you have the audacity to sit down and watch televisions in the fall. The nerve to do that and to not want to be annoyed. I'm fine. I can watch all the ads. Could they be relevant to me? There's nothing else like it in life where I have to sit there and just listen to people yell at me for a minute because they think I'm a Jeep owner when I drive a Buick. There's nothing else like that in the world.
Yeah.
You just have to talk to the Jeep owners. You don't send out your little piece of paper to me in the mail saying, return your Buick because Jeeps are bad.
Yeah, the old way, you had to. You were going to have some redundancies or things that didn't affect them. I get it. Now, it seems like we can get that done. It just does to me. I don't know any better.
That's the thing, I guess, that there's a funny joke. I don't know which comedian does it. You might. Is it? I hope it's Bargatze because I think he's the funniest guy in the world. There's a joke about if you transported me back 100 years ago, I wouldn't be able to like...
It's a Nate Bargatze.
Is
it? Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to help or solve anything because I don't know how anything works.
Is that used, there's an iPhone. You just swipe on it.
Right.
Like you can
need,
open it up.
You would tell people, we need to get cell phones. And they go, okay, what does that mean? How do we do it? And he's like, I don't know, but we need them.
But we need them.
And I am that guy, totally.
Right.
But to that point, related to what we're talking about, I know we can do this. We have to be able to. I don't know how. When we can do such more complicated, difficult things,
mm-hmm.
we are on the precipice of nobody having to drive vehicles anymore. Just touching some buttons. I got picked up, scariest thing that ever happened to me, by an Uber in Florida at one point. And the driver who was there didn't touch the wheel at any point from the moment we left the airport to the moment we got to the house. There are friends of mine, I have not experienced this, who have been picked up by cars where there was no human being.
There's
in the
no
front.
Human.
There was zero human beings. I'm just seeing a video, and it's just a vehicle, just machinery. Nobody's talking to you. You just get in. I don't know how any of it works, and it drops you off, and it goes about its day to pick up more people as a machine.
And then it realizes the only threat to its existence are human beings.
We can do that. But there's no way to decipher between the person sitting in Virginia and the person sitting in Maryland. That's a little bit too
that's
much
That's beyond
to
the
ask.
Pale. Yeah, that's too far.
Come on,
that's
man.
That's too far, dude.
We got this, don't we? Together we can do it.
I'm amazed.
And by together, I mean smart people. You guys do
somebody.
It.
Like, here, I don't know. Again, I agree with the right thing,
yeah,
and I disagree
too.
With the wrong thing.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
mad at the right thing to be mad at, and I'm joyful at the thing I'm supposed to be happy about. I can't believe it's not like more of a priority for for a campaign. You know what I mean? Like, if I like, let's say I'm in charge of your campaign.
How many dollars are you spending?
This is my point.
On my eyeballs.
I would go. Listen, I got to make sure that Ryan in Virginia sees my advertising.
I cannot help you.
Yeah, and it doesn't help me if Daris sees it. Maybe Daris will call someone who lives in Virginia. Maybe at best, but let's not run something every 7 minutes in front of Daris's eyeballs.
You could be running.
Yeah.
To make sure that all afternoon drive radio hosts make $1 million. And all the other things that I care about. No more speed cameras. No more questions at the gas pump. We're getting rid of time changes. Like, everything I've ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday ticket is free for everyone. Just from when you wake up on Sunday morning, there's a game that starts at 9:30 a.m. in London every Sunday.
Mm.
And Sunday ticket is free.
That's not part of the platform.
All of these things are on your platform. I still can't vote for you. Now, if you existed, I might move just to make sure you won. I might do that. But in the moment, I can't help you. You're spending money on me. Why are you doing it?
What a waste. What a waste. What a huge waste.
I don't know. I've been thinking about this way too much today, as you could tell. The Commanders have made a bunch of moves. The D-line is in shambles right now. They're playing an opponent this week in Carolina that will be able to take advantage of that too, by the way. As confident as I am in this game, and Washington's going to win this sucker, the Panthers are a bad matchup for a team with a reeling defensive line. Chuba Hubbard, their running back, is good. How much have you seen of him this year?
He's a good player. I saw him play in college at Texas, Oklahoma State, Texas. I'm going, why do they keep giving the ball to this guy? And then I figured it out. That dude's nasty.
5.6 yards per carry this season.
Mm-hmm.
Last four games, he's run for 114, 104, 97, and 92 yards. And watching their game back as they played Atlanta this weekend at home, they dominated the Falcons' line on the ground. Dominated. Moved them wherever they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Just picking guys up and putting them down like they were rearranging furniture in a living room. Double teams, just everything seamless. I mean, it was a really pretty artistic watch from a running game standpoint. I think they're going to have success on the ground. Now, they're going to have a lot of it to keep up with the Commanders, because my guess is Jaden Daniels and this offense are going to move the ball and score some points. But we found out today John Allen to IR, which is not a surprise. He's out for the season. Told the Junks he was having surgery yesterday as a torn pec. The bummer we didn't know about is that Javonte Jean-Baptiste is also going to injured reserve. Don't know how long he's going to miss. He was in a walking boot after the game. This was the 7th-round pick out of Notre Dame, who's actually, I think, turned into a pretty helpful player on the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if they're gaudy stat totals or anything, but it's not as if they're falling off a cliff when he comes into the game. So, yeah, that's useful. That's a win for a guy drafted where he was.
Huge win.
Yeah.
And he played a good number of snaps. He got pressures occasionally. He's mm-hmm. already got a sack. I mean, how many 7th-round picks in the NFL right now are playing as much as him and, you know, have the counting stats?
Yeah,
that
not
he
many.
Has? I would say it's very, very few. And then Dorrance Armstrong. So the update today on him, Danny, he did not practice. And they didn't say this, but it sounded to me like by knowing already this morning he would not practice, I'm guessing he's not going to practice maybe for a couple days.
It doesn't sound like this week is likely.
Right. I mean, that's certainly not what they said, but if you're just trying to guess between the lines, I think that's fair. They would say that it's not long-term. They said if we thought this was a several-week thing, we'd put him on injured reserve like they did with Allen and Baptiste to get the roster spot, and they didn't do that.
Well, it was, to me, it was pretty telling during the game where there was no doubt. Like, the instant the injury happened, he's over on the sideline, it's pads off, jersey off, you are done. That doesn't usually coincide with, yeah, he's going to be good to go next week, right? Like, if it's serious enough where there's no chance, there's no further examination, there's no let's try to tape it up and see, or, you know, or give you the icy hot, or, you know, whatever medicine they're going to use. The fact that it was instant rule out and him looking pretty dejected, and then now combined with not practicing at least for a couple of days, it didn't feel like to me, based on my extensive medical training, like this week would be likely. But it's good news that they don't think it's a long-term enough thing to put him on IR.
They elevated Sheldon Day from the practice squad, right, who's a D-tackle. Day in his career has played over 70 NFL games. He's played mostly with the San Francisco 49ers and Jacksonville Jaguars, but cups of coffee with Cleveland, Minnesota, the Colts, and now one game with Washington. So he will be, at least in the short term, probably not used a lot, but on the back end of the D-tackle depth chart. And then they also signed Jalen Holmes, who is not in their building, who they'll now turn to, again, in a pinch. They don't really have much of a choice. This is kind of where we are. Holmes is a guy who was a 4th-round pick back in 2018 by the Vikings. He has played in Minnesota, New Orleans, Chicago, and most recently He played several games on special teams earlier this year with the Jets and was on their practice squad, and they plucked him. But bottom line is, this is Johnny Newton's time.
Yeah.
This is Fidarian Mathis's time. One of those two guys has to really pick up their production with a expanded opportunity. Neither's done anything wrong. Both has been very serviceable to solid in their roles. Your role's about to change. And you drafted Johnny Newton just outside of the first round at 36 overall. The film on him from last year at Illinois is game-wrecking, pass-rushing presence, get up the field, like impact guy. I think he could be the player that really steps up, and that's my hope. But one of those two is going to have to save your bacon a little bit here in a tough spot.
Larger role. And you could also see maybe a Jamin Davis if Dorrance Armstrong can't go, because we saw some early season returns. He's been inactive or irrelevant for a few weeks. Remember, F.A. Obada's back, too, from his stint on IR as maybe a rotational piece who could play. He's played a little bit of both for the previous regime, talking D-tackle and D-end, so not sure how they might deploy. But to me, you don't just say, I mean, again, I know John Allen's production wasn't otherworldly this year, and I'm very aware of that. And you're not going to replace that leadership. It's going to be different. But you're not going to replace that one player by simply saying, okay, next person, you do everything that he does. There's got to be a combination, right? Somebody's role slightly changes, or, okay, Daron Payne, a little bit less stay at home, a little bit more try to go across someone's face and get upfield, a little bit more disruption instead of just, you know, being solid and letting Bobby Wagner throw to the ball. Maybe. I'm just saying, you try to figure out a way to replace somebody, not man for man, but with everyone kind of tweaking and or maybe elevating.
With 9 draft picks this coming spring, I would be hard-pressed not to be knocking on some doors and making some phone calls right now if I was Adam Peters to bring in a defensive end who could help me get after the quarterback a little bit. And maybe if they feel like, well, Dante Fowler can do that and Jamin Davis can rush the passer a little bit, then maybe you need another Cleveland Farrell. You know, maybe you need someone who could just be stout against the run, which was a little bit more of what Baptiste seemed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But I think by losing Allen, who's been a credible pass rusher over the last couple of years for you, and a guy that teams had to account for and occasionally double team, they're going to be short on pass rush, especially if Dorrance Armstrong misses a couple of games. Now, maybe they feel like that's short term, so it's not something where you need to change your eye line for the rest of the season by bringing in new personnel. But I would certainly be willing to pick up the phone right now if I'm Peters on the D-line, because your defense was already bad. Your D-line was already very average based on how it was playing, I would say. The personnel was better than that, but you're certainly not getting above average production up front. If you were, then the secondary wouldn't be in the position that it's in, probably. And now you lose Allen, who's really good. You lose 2 other guys that were helping you a ton, at least for the next week in Armstrong's case. And in the way of Javonte Baptiste, is someone who's was playing 30-plus percent of snaps, you know, was there. So they got to do something, I would think. Unless they just feel like it doesn't matter, it's a rotation, Sheldon Day is going to help and be fine, and, you know, we'll make it work with this additions outside the building plan that we've got.
And so here's the other thing I wonder, too. What's the sweet spot? And what I mean is, you don't want to spend a first rounder or a second rounder. You probably don't want to spend a third rounder, although I suppose you could. But then what are you getting that's, and how much of an upgrade is that really? So I'm picking a name out of a hat, right? Harold Landry. He's good. Plays for Tennessee. They're awful. They're not going anywhere this year. Would they part for him for, say, a late second, early third? Is that worth doing, and how much of an upgrade is that, right? He's better than who they have as a pass rusher with some pelts on the wall. Pretty good player. But does that make sense for them, right? Someone that you're going to get for a bargain, is that really going to be someone that's going to dramatically upgrade one of those units? I don't know the answer to that. You got to find the right deal.
Well, I actually want to get into the trade deadline and whether or not it's time for them to reassess what they should be doing. Because they didn't think they were going to be this good. There's no way they could have. And now they are. And the division isn't all that exciting at the top. You know, their competition is not as quality as they thought it was going to be in Philly and Dallas, probably. And heck, I mean, you look around the league, how many teams are that much better than you? And you've got a quarterback that appears to be special and is playing at a really, really high level. Why wouldn't you try to give yourself a chance in the short term while making moves that could also benefit you in the long term? Let's get into that next. We can open up the phones as well at 800-636-1067. Do you think the Commanders should make moves ahead of the deadline or be aggressive and maybe even just change the way they view themselves? If the plan coming in was to be patient, to not be aggressive at the deadline, are they at a point now where they should reassess? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The Grant and Danny Football Friday field trips kick off this weekend. We're going to be in Leesburg. Looking forward to going out to Spanky's Shenanigans in Leesburg from 2 to 6:30. If you are in the area, please come by and say hello. This is our inaugural field trip. We're going to be doing this every Friday. You guys can hit us up. Tell us where you want us to go in your area. I believe next week it sounds like we'll be in Manassas as of right now at Uptown Alley. In Manassas off Sudley Road. That's next Friday. The field trips are happening.
We're going to be oot and a boot. I love it. Touching the people in a very appropriate way, I will say. Appropriate way. The allowed way, right? But it's going to be fun, man. I like this. I like the fact that people want to have us come do our little merry little circus, little traveling band type deal. We're just doing the old radio program with some wings.
Grant and Danny all over the DMV right now on 106.7 The Fan. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Make sure you've got it downloaded. If you are out of the area, you can continue to listen to the show. And we are also streaming video worldwide on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Do you think the Commanders should reassess where they're at and maybe be more aggressive than was planned and make some moves? So I've thought about this a lot since yesterday. This came up on the show, you and I, post-Baltimore. And my initial answer was, I think I'm going to par the course for the most part. I am a very patient guy. I don't need to push the envelope. I'm by nature, I would say, if I was running a team, not aggressive. I'm a builder. I'm a planner. I like to do things over an extended period of time. Having thought about this a lot, though, I think I'm changing my mind on this. The Commanders should absolutely prioritize the future, but they should do this simultaneously, Mike Rizzo style, with plans of 1, 3, and 5 years. And if something works for at least two of those three plans, the 1 and the 3 year plan, let's say, they should categorically be considering it. So whereas normally I go, don't go do that. Don't make that trade. Don't give up picks. It's not time. I think I'm going to push back on that for two reasons. First, they are a lot better than we thought they were going to be. Why can't they win the division and make noise in the playoffs? I'll wait. You got an answer?
No.
Why can't they win a playoff game or two or be a pain in the ass to play in the playoffs? Right now, this moment, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves because it's only October 16th and a lot can change. But if the playoffs were starting today, and clearly they don't, would anybody want to play Washington? Would anyone want to deal with this offense?
You're a little bit scary, right?
Now, you might want your offense to play them because you can move the ball, but you still got to deal with Kingsbury and Daniels and one of the best scoring offenses in the National Football League.
That's right.
So they're pretty good. I think you've got to occasionally change your eye line some. And especially in the NFL, when the golden goose, when the entire point is the rookie quarterback contract. The moment you figure out you've got the rookie quarterback who can play at a high level and you can win a title with potentially before he gets paid, you flip that hourglass over, Danny, and the sand starts to fall.
Yep.
Now, they've got 4.5 seasons left of Jaden Daniels before he makes an astronomical amount of money. But if you were to wait until this offseason, you get 4 postseasons, really, where you've got a shot to win before he makes crazy money. If you start to decide right here and right now that you want to try to win this year with Jaden Daniels, you get 5 postseasons. And because of how important it is to win before he gets paid, and we have just seen this all over the league with these guys that go on to get the big contracts and then it gets harder, I think there should be an aggressiveness and there should be an urgency. And so I wouldn't make any trades for rentals. I wouldn't make any trades that even as of next season are question marks. But in areas where you can get a corner who might be a 2 or 3 year player for you that makes you better today and tomorrow, no brainer. A defensive end who can get after the quarterback, who helps you for the rest of this year and improves you next season and beyond as well, no brainer. So I'm going to go back on what I said when you asked me about this 2 days ago. I think I would absolutely, if I'm Adam Peters, be willing to wheel and deal a little bit and further take advantage of what appears to be a very special young quarterback on a rookie contract.
I hear that and I understand it. But to me, I deal in a very pragmatic way when it comes to this. The moves that I'd be willing to make, and I'm willing to make them, aren't the type of moves that are going to change anybody's fortunes or franchise. In other words, spending what I would spend, a 4th-round pick, a 5th-round pick on name that corner, a name that available defensive end for not that much, that's not going to all of a sudden turn this into a championship team. I think there's several pieces that they need. Now, will they be slightly better for the short term? Probably. But how much is that worth to me? I cannot do anything to derail my precious window over the next several seasons. In other words, I will not be spending a 1st-round pick on somebody or a 2nd. Probably not even a 3rd, although I do have 2/3, so maybe I could be arm twisted if I've got myself. I could take on a contract of somebody that's mildly gruntled in another city that could really help me produce at one of my positions of need, but the wheels have to line up perfectly on that. So in terms of practical moves, I'd be all for spending late round currency on stuff. I'm always amazed, right, where this star receiver or this guy that's really good, maybe because there's a contract involved or there's a headache or something, you can have that guy who needs a change of scenery, and this is good scenery now all of a sudden, right? Everybody loves Dan Quinn, and everyone loves this staff, and they're treating people the right way, and all of a sudden it's the place to be. We're one of the cool kids. Maybe you could be one of the desirable ones. If you're throwing a late round pick for somebody that's going to help you, by all means. But I'm not going to pay a premium to derail the talent influx mechanisms that I have over the next couple of seasons.
Well, what if you're derailing the talent influx mechanisms, I think you called it, by adding talent and influxing talent? So in other words, here's where we'll part ways. I mostly agree. First of all, I will not be playing the game that they should go trade for Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or something stupid like that.
That was going to be my follow-up then. Like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, well, it's just not going to happen. It's right. Not to say that I'm not interested, but that's not reality. Mm-hmm. I deal in reality. That's not the radio show I want to do. So they're not trading for Myles Garrett, so you can skip that. But where we disagree is you're talking about late round picks and basically salt and pepper on the table. Like what I called, you know, the table dressings or the stuff that doesn't really matter. I am absolutely willing to trade a 2nd or 3rd or multiple mid-round picks to bring in young starting talent that I'm adding for multiple years. That I am controllable talent. This is, you know, the Nationals this offseason will go out and probably have to trade for a number 3 starting pitcher. And they're going to give up some prospects from their system to do it. When you don't, in their case, have ownership that seems to be willing to help you with money and free agency, that's how you do it in that sport. The only team I can really use as a legitimate example right now is the Browns, because we now know as of yesterday they're in sell mode, mm-hmm. Okay? But I look at Cleveland as an example, and in their cornerback room, they've got a couple of very talented young corners in Greg Newsome and Martin Emerson, who were 1st and 3rd round picks in 21 and in 22 respectively, who in Newsome's case is under contract after this year, still for another couple of football seasons, and Emerson even 2 more than that. I would absolutely be interested in the right situation in moving a mid-round pick for a starting corner that I think is a fit in my scheme, if they are, for the next three seasons or something like that. Absolutely. That is something they should be interested in doing. Now, here's where I was disagreeing earlier. In September, I never would have thought about doing this. Absolutely not. You're not good enough. You're not in this mode. But you are, in fact, good enough to win the division, and you are good enough to be a pain in the postseason. So, for me, it is two-sided. This is not a, let's push the chips in for 2024. That would be foolish. But if you can kill two birds with one stone, if you can have your cake now and also eat it later too, and I still don't know how that works.
I don't know why you'd have cake otherwise.
I don't know what that
means. Explain that to me. Why did I purchase this cake if not to eat it?
But I am wholeheartedly behind finding a fit, young talent, coming in here for now and the next few seasons and giving up a draft pick or two in the process. No problem with that at all.
I think if you find that sweet spot, I could sign up for that. I just don't think that's as all that feasible. In other words, what I'm saying is, like, Ernie Grunfeld used to go, we consider this guy coming back a second-round draft pick. No, your second-round draft pick was something you either sold or didn't use or whatever. Like, if you're able to, for the sake of argument, I'm just making this one up. I don't know. I don't have his contract in front of me. But if you trade a second for Denzel Ward, who's under contract.
Well, that's not a thing.
For multiple years. But, yeah. Like, let's say you could do that. Sure, I'll do that because I got a Pro Bowl player for multiple years. But if it's a, you know, a what would probably take a pretty high pick to pick up Newsom from Cleveland as well. Would they be willing to do that? Who knows?
Already paid Denzel Ward at corner.
Right.
You're probably not paying two corners. So I'm building practical. Like, I am living in Practicalville, and I'm saying you've got to find a team that has a good young player that would be willing possibly to take on assets. And I'm just using Cleveland as the hypothetical.
Because they're bad and they've already started to sell.
They sold off on Cooper.
Yeah.
But in a world where you've paid, and Denzel Ward's not on the table. That is the thing I'm not doing, right? Not to say I'm not trading for him. That would be fun, but two teams have to agree. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about Myles Garrett next and Patrick Mahomes, too.
Let's just get them all.
He's a three-time Pro Bowler who's a fringe All-Pro type, and he's 27 years old. They're probably not going to part ways with him. But he is making a lot of money. You're probably not going to have multiple corners making a ton of money, and you're certainly not going to have three. And they have a couple of young guys that are pretty good. Well, they're going to stink the rest of the year anyway. The worse they are, the better. If you're willing to give them draft picks, like, that is where two teams might be willing to tango. And that is what they should be trying to do. And to me, that is the conversation here. Should they be looking to do that or not? Because reasonably, that was not the mode they planned on being in, where they're even looking for that type of a trade. And I'm saying they should be now. I had someone hit me up, just a buddy of mine who's a huge fan of both the Commanders and the Orioles. And they drew a comparison to, I actually found this kind of interesting, the Birds and Washington. And it's not perfect, but I think their logic they were using was, as an Orioles fan, they got really good a little bit ahead of schedule. And it felt like maybe they could have done more to help themselves. They didn't. They have not necessarily paid for it, but they haven't been able to do anything in the playoffs. And now it seems like maybe they should have done more in hindsight looking back. Maybe you go get the big-time pitcher. You go get someone to help you. And they said, no, we're fine. We're ahead of schedule. We're just going to kind of sit back and put our feet up, and it's house money. We'll see where this goes. But what if you would have tried? If this quarterback is as good as he's playing, and this is sustainable offensively, I know this sounds ridiculous to say in October, you can make a run. And so I think there's a very small runway, but it exists, where you can land a plane on prioritizing 25, 26, 27, and helping yourself right now. And I do think they need to be open to that and be open to whatever they thought this team was 6 weeks ago. It might be a lot better than that, especially if you fix the corner position a little bit, especially if you get more pass rush, especially if you start to try to sew some of the holes defensively. 800-636-1067 is the number. Do you think they should just stick to the plan, or should they possibly reassess after six games with a chance now to be 5-2 after Sunday? You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan with the phones in just a moment. Should the Commanders be more aggressive than planned based on their 4-2 start with the deadline coming up?
My answer is slightly. If a move makes sense, if you get a one of your two-thirds or a fourth, fifth, sixth, something like that, and it can improve the ball club, I'm all in favor of that. But I'm not derailing from my plan. I'm not giving up a first or second in all likelihood.
I don't think anyone's derailing from any plans or wants to trade any first or second round picks. But I do think this team should absolutely be more aggressive than they thought they were going to be. Things change. You're 4-2. You're going to be 5-2 very likely after Sunday, and it looks like your quarterback is pretty unique and special. There's no way they could have expected this, and we're here. And in a mediocre division and in a mediocre conference, I think it'd be a mistake not to give yourself every opportunity to have as many bites at the apple as possible while Daniels is on a rookie deal. So I'm not mortgaging next year or the future years, but if I can find a fit for a guy who's got 2 or 3 years control at a position of need like corner or edge that I'm going to have to address in free agency with a comparable player anyway, what am I waiting for? I will gladly part, you know, with one of my 9 draft picks, a couple of my 9 draft picks to do that. Let's go to Steve in Chesapeake Beach listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, real quick before I get to my comment, whenever I call in here, I'm always going to say this. Danny, if you could do your Christmas specials when Grant's out of town or you make impersonations of the people, a weekly thing, that'd be great.
Because, oh, thanks,
like, dude. I said, back today, you helped me in a dark day, in a dark week that I was having, and I'd come in my car laughing my butt off because of you, and it just helped me out.
Appreciate
I'm
you, man.
I'm sure it helped out a lot of people. But let me get to my comment. I kind of want to stay put and stay the plan. I don't want to mortgage the future for short-term help, especially seeing that this division is coming down to mediocrity. Like, everybody's falling apart. Philly's falling apart. Jerry Jones is yelling at people on the radio. Giants are doing Giants. Our future looks bright to run the division, our division, and to make a long run. And I want to kind of stay that course.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is trying to fire radio hosts that he doesn't employ somehow. One of them is going to be on the show today when we tackle the East coming up. We'll blitz the division at 5 o'clock. And RJ Choppy, who's one of the guys Jerry once fired, will be with us. So that should be fun. Jesse's in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I think even though he just became our GM, you know, I really like Peters, so whatever he does, I'm fine with. But, I mean, I don't see why we need to give up a first or a second, kind of like you guys said. That would just be ridiculous. I don't think we should try to trade for a D tackle because, I mean, that's why we drafted Johnny Newton. So if we did trade for someone, you know, end or corner, I'd definitely be open to. But, you know, kind of like you guys were saying, it can't be a rental. It's got to be someone with 2 or 3 years on their contract.
It wouldn't be a rental, to be clear. I mean, these guys are way too practical and prudent. So we're not even dealing with kind of the unlikely, oh my gosh, they just went and got this pass rusher hired gun who's a free agent at the end of the year for a third round pick. They would not do that. That goes against everything they believe in. The better question is, if there is some 27, 28-year-old corner who is 2 years away, you know, 2 seasons away, let's say a free agent after next year, and you got to give up a 3 and a 4 or something, and a team's willing to part with him and they think he's a fit, is that something you'd be willing to do? Because a month ago, the answer should be absolutely not. And I just think that's changed. Eric Gaithersburg, what's up?
I would definitely be willing to give up something if it brought talent that was not, like you said, not a rental, something that was going to stay, and that it would help us not only this year, but next year and going forward. In other words, I trust Adam Peters that if they were going to pick the player, it would be the right person. So I don't know that I want to give up a number one, but certainly be willing to give up a number two if it was really going to be a long-term acquisition that was going to help the team in years going up. I think he's built a great team, and I trust his picks.
Danny, how about the trust in the front office, which so far seems very warranted and well-earned, but just a night and day difference from how we've felt around here for such a long time.
Oh, for sure.
Where people are saying, yeah, whatever they do, I'm fine with. It'll be right.
Yeah, but I was thinking about the last couple people that called and said that very thing. I'm going, what a dramatic departure where you're not sure who was in charge, whether, you know, Bruce Allen had the same piece of video on pause for 7 months pretending to watch film in his office. Now it's just a different place, different time. But, I mean, to me, I don't know, part of this, and I'm trying to figure out why again, I'm not like hardcore, like no moves. You're not allowed to give up a draft pick. They have four picks in the top 100 coming up this year. I would be really hesitant to part with them. It would have to be the exact right deal. I just don't know that right deal exists. If it does, we can make a move. But it's hard for me to imagine somebody wanting to go, really? You're offering me that? And then giving me something that would really help.
Yeah. You're answering that you don't think it's going to present itself. And I'm saying, hey, if something presents itself, do it.
Precisely.
And I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, this is a much better team with a much better shot to make noise than we thought. Chris, Hyattsville, what's good?
What's up? Listen, Grant, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with the premise that you only get so many bites at the apple, so there's no time like the present. But there's a couple things. Number one, the past administration really did not help by drafting draft picks that don't even activate it on game day. So to give up draft picks to build the roster is tough for me. And second, you're at the mercy of what's currently available in the market of like the four or five teams who already know they're out of it. It's not like baseball where you get to the halfway point and, you know, 10 teams know they're not competing this season. So there's a limited, not like actual available guys that you can acquire. I think that the time to go all in is in the offseason.
Well, the problem with that, I mean, it's a good call in terms of the trade market especially. The problem with that is every team in the offseason thinks it can be better come September. So the five or seven teams right now that are punting are no longer punting in the offseason. They are all, there's not a single NFL team ever in any offseason that is going, we're not going to do anything to the roster this year because we are the, you know, what the Orioles did for 5 years or the Astros. That doesn't exist in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, if you're saying, well, let's just sign a free agent, the pool is shrunken by just who's available and whose contracts are up. So by that metric, I mean, you're not really picking and choosing between as many guys at the same age. Like right now, as an example, you could say, let's call the agents or the teams of, if a team is in the bottom seven clubs in the NFL and they've already paid a player at this position and they've got a guy between 23 and 26 they're not likely to pay, let's call them. You know, you could do it that way. Those are not the players that are available in free agency who are generally a little bit older anyway. But I get it. And I'm not saying they have to make a move or that they should, you know, be hell-bent on making a move. I am saying collectively as a program, and I think just as a market, we've kind of suggested, hey, let's just see what they've got this year. This idea was, I saw someone even yesterday on social media who talks about the team saying, remember, this whole year is just about making sure Jaden Daniels is the guy. Or this whole year is about developing Daniels. We're past that. He's really good. Like it looks like this guy's awesome. We should not spend another 10 weeks just going, it doesn't really matter what happens this year because this is the Jaden Daniels year. Occasionally, you got to break some glass and figure out that something is different than you think.
It didn't go according to the plan, but it went better than the plan, right? So you adjust accordingly.
Sean Saeed is going to join us from Sumer Sports. He's one of their film analysts. Want to talk to him about what's been so great about Cliff Kingsbury's offense next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.